Thank you for tuning in tonight to a special Head On Radio. We're happy to have you here. And up shortly is Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold. I'd like to thank the News Ninjas and everyone that participates here and works so very hard in RMR. It's all for you.
This is a quality news network. Iraq's new government lost 5 more Sunni ministers today as they announced a boycott of cabinet meetings. The departure of the last Sunni representatives is a blow to President al-Maliki's unity government that had promised to reconcile Iraq's religious minorities to lead the country. A curfew is now in place after a suicide bombing in the northern Iraq city of Tal Afar killed at least 28 people. 19 of those were children. The bomber slammed a dump truck loaded with explosives and gravel into a residential area where children were playing outside. President Bush met with Afghan President Hamid Karzai at Camp David for discussions on recent security issues in that country, including the Taliban resurgence. The two also expressed that there would be no exchange for 21 South Korean hostages still being held by the Taliban. On the web, a new Al-Qaeda video threatens to target diplomats and embassies around the globe. California native Adam Gadan, a top member of Al-Qaeda, reportedly produced the piece. He's believed to be hiding in Pakistan. The video has not yet been verified. The Government Accountability Office says the Pentagon is unable to account for almost half of the weapons given to Iraqi security forces in 2004 and 2005. Many of the rifles and pistols are being used against U.S. troops. Others have been found for sale on Baghdad's black market. French President Nicolas Sarkozy lashed out at two news photographers who were covering his vacation in Concord, New Hampshire. While boating on Lake Winnipesaukee, Sarkozy spotted them, boarded their boat, and railed at the pair in French. The photographers said they had permission to be there. 6 coal miners are trapped in a Utah coal mine some 1,500 feet underground. The shaft collapsed after a small earthquake. Its epicenter was just 5 miles away. Rescue workers say no contact has been made with the miners. Recovery crews continue their work searching the rubble of Minneapolis I-35 West Freeway Bridge. 5 people are confirmed dead and 8 are confirmed missing. A final report on the cause of the collapse isn't expected for over a year. About 1,400 people gathered last night for a memorial to those who lost their lives in the bridge collapse. People of all faiths offered prayers to the victims and their grieving families. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty said they were also there to begin the rebuilding process. You're listening to QNN Business and Science next.
This is Beyonce. For a performer, a smile is an instant reward. And once you've seen the smiles on the faces of children at Shriners Hospitals, you'll know why the Shriners have been providing their world-renowned medical care to kids for over 80 years at absolutely no charge. At Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized services and treatments for kids with orthopedic, burn, or spinal cord problems. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Scientists in Scotland say they figured out the secret to levitation, but only in the nano world. Using a special lens, physicists can reverse the force that attracts atomic-sized particles together, forcing them to actually repulse each other. For now, the technology only works on micro-objects at short range. Space Shuttle Endeavour is a go for launch late Wednesday with a 70% chance of good weather. It'll head to the International Space Station with former teacher Barbara Morgan on board, as well as 6 other astronauts. And British authorities are working to contain an outbreak of hoof and mouth disease in southeast England while trying to determine its origins. Investigators shut down 2 nearby animal health labs suspected as possible sources. The EU has banned all live animal, meat, and dairy products from Britain. Analysts say air travelers are suffering the worst flight delay levels in nearly 13 years. The Department of Transportation says the industry's on-time performance is the worst since 1995. Part of the reason, analysts say, is more people are flying. And Chrysler has hired a new boss, Bob Nardelli, who quit the chief executive of Home Depot in January. Nardelli faced criticism at Home Depot for his pay and the company's sliding stock price. Flight Suite crude is trading at $72.04 a barrel at the close of Wall Street. The Dow closed up 287 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Strictly Confidential. This is Book, Chapter, and Verse 27. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. I can't believe it's Monday. This weekend was a strange one for me. Didn't feel that well this weekend, and I pulled in my horns and stayed home and rested. Didn't make it to the morning church, didn't make it to the evening church, and didn't go out all weekend, as a matter of fact, but I discovered the most wonderful thing. Even though I was feeling kind of and hiding out in the bed and drinking juice and taking ibuprofen and this sort of thing, I discovered, lo and behold, some of you may know this, but it was new to me, Netflix offers streaming movies. Yes. Oh, I had a ball. Netflix, I really ought to need to start charging those people for doing commercials for them as much as I talk about them. But normally, you know, you send them a DVD, they send you a DVD back and forth through the mail, blah, blah, blah. But they have a huge number of titles, but about 4,000 of those titles are available as streaming video. And it's really very cool. You download their little, and what it does is it calculates your connection speed. And determines your video quality. You can't tell it what video quality. It just looks at your speed. I think there's a 500K is low quality if you're below 500, and I believe 1.5K or 1.5 meg is what they call medium quality, and above 1.6 meg is high quality. And in any case, I'm fortunate enough to have above 1.6 here. So I was getting the high-quality feed, and actually it's quite good. It's full screen. It doesn't go into all this pixelizing, you know, with the big square chunky-looking things like, you know, AVIs do. And the audio quality is very good. It's in stereo. And, the only thing about it is the focus is somewhat softer. You can tell there's some detail reduction in compression to get that much data through. It's not full DVD quality, but it's plenty close enough to have fun with. It's actually quite good. It's just the focus is a little soft. So anyway, even though I was hiding out here in the house in bed, I wasn't bored. And you know what I found out? Remember we talked about the movie Small Town Gay Bar last week? A wonderful movie. We played one of the audio tracks out a gay bar in the middle of nowhere in Mississippi, and about the things that the folks have to go through, you know, getting shot at in the parking lot. And it's really a testament to the strength of the people who live there. Just an amazing movie, really. It is number 12 in the top 50 streaming videos from Netflix. I couldn't believe it. Now, to be fair, of course, there are only 4,000 streaming movies versus the full Netflix collection. So that's not stacked up against every blockbuster in the planet by any means. But nonetheless, Small Town Gay Bar is number 1250 of their streaming movies. So in any case, I recommend that you see that. It's a wonderful movie, Small Town Gay Bar. Not sure if Blockbuster has it, but it was one of those movies that got some Sundance Awards and that sort of thing. So I fully expect that if they don't have it, they will get it soon. If you'd like to find out more about it, you can go to the web and and go to smalltowngaybar.com, if I recall. And I haven't talked about the site. You should stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you can find all the links to the audio archives and to the guests on the show and to the Strictly Confidential base page. Yes, there is a MySpace page. You can also find links to all of the music played on the show. Again, that's strictlyconfidentialradio.com. And, yep, covered that. Okay, I can minimize that. Oh, my. And I'm going to get this out of the way right off the bat. I've been stewing over this since Friday, and I was going to do this Friday night, but we got off on something Friday night. As we often do. Oh, that's right. We had the wonderful fellow from Minnesota on the show, the candidate. He was running for if I recall, it was city council, and he was from Duluth. And I'd love for you to see his site. You can go by strictlyconfidentialradio.com and look up Friday's date. And you can click and go to his site. He was an amazing guest, as so many of the guests are. It's just us tonight, by the way. Just us. The telephone number is 1-877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. Or you can use 877-443-2366. If you have a unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can use 304-658-3333. And that number saves the studio a cost of the call, and you can save us a buck. Mail rolls into Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com. So we're going to get this out of the way first. There's lots of news tonight, but received an email Friday from a listener in North Carolina, and this listener is a longtime listener to the network. He's called other shows. He's not talked to this particular show. But he asks several questions and recommends a guest. I'll go to the questions first, and because I think this email we could probably stand to do it on the air. I think rather than be trying to email answers, I think that everyone may have some interest along these lines. He's asking me, the first question is, what do you get from attending a church that you've described as conservative that you couldn't get from practicing your religion individually? Well, that's a good question. I've often talked about going to a conservative Methodist church out here, and in order to answer that, I guess I'll have to break that up into two separate parts, because they're the two answers versus practicing individually. So we'll just go with, what do you get from attending it you've described as conservative? And I'll have to answer that as not much. What? This would be difficult for straight folks to envision, and a lot of gay folks don't do this. In fact, I can't blame them, but some do. I'm one of the ones that do it, and that is, I act as a visual aid, as it were. I go to that church, by and large, just to sit there every Sunday so that they will have to deal with a homosexual in their midst, so they can see that, in fact, we don't have three eyes and long tongues that come flashing out and lap up their children as they go by like a lizard. And, in fact, often when I'm there, I can feel the little eyes on me, especially when we have children's church and all the little children go up to the front of the church. I can often feel the little eyes on me, because I normally sit to the front because I run the sound equipment, looking at me to see if I am, in fact, looking at the children. I mean, it is really difficult to explain to straight folks what it is like to operate or to have to exist in a straight world and to have to go through stuff like that. But I will say my sisters go there and their husbands go there, so I do have some family there, which makes it tolerable. And it's not like anybody spits at me or curses at me, but by and large, it is a somewhat standoff relationship. And so to answer that question, what do I get from attending a church that I've described as conservative? Not a hell of a lot. I simply go there to be a visual aid. Don't know how else I can put it. Now, that is changing because, as I have said, when the Methodist Church decided to house the Bush Library at Southern Methodist University, that is the final straw. I can no longer do that. I can't keep up with that any longer. I can't be formulated with any organization that would stoop low enough to lift that son of a bitch up into the esteem of having a library at their university to tarnish the Methodist name. In any case, that's changing. I am going to, and have, in fact, have started going to the evening services of Metropolitan Community Church in Tallahassee, which is, by and large, the folks that go there are gay, although they're you know, some moms and dads, and some of the folks have children, and, you know, it's a mix. It's a lot of people there, 70, 100, 150. So that's a whole different ball game. That I get a lot out of, because it's a matter of fellowship and kindred spirits and joy and laughter and all the things you get out of being with people of a kindred mind. And the second part of the question, that you couldn't, what can you get from going to that church that you couldn't get from practicing your religion individually? The answer to that, it just sounds way too much like going back in the closet to me. I mean, I can sit here on radio that goes, you know, as far away. We have listeners in the Netherlands, listeners in Australia. And sit here and tell you that, you know, I'm a gay man who's HIV positive and has been for about 20 years, and make it fairly clear that my face is no stranger to a man's lap, I'm sure the hell not shy about telling you I love Jesus. I mean, that's the last thing that's gonna bother me. But that's how all this came out. But the second question is, how do you and other liberal or gay Christians see it as more legitimate? Oh, wait, hold on there, Pilgrim. Let's stop there. How the hell am I going to answer for other liberal or gay Christians? Can you, in fact, answer anything for other liberals? Can you answer for straight Christians or even straight non-Christians? It's not possible to answer a group like that. We can only answer these things individually. So even though the writer is asking this question philosophically by dropping in other liberals and gay or other or gay Christians, the question is actually directed at me. And the question, once you take that bit out, you find that the question really reads, how do you see it as more legitimate for you to choose what you will believe or practice in the Bible in order to make it fit your worldview than it is for the Christian right to choose what they will believe or practice? Now, if I'm reading this right, what this person is asking me is, what's the difference? Is there any difference? What is the difference between me and the right wing? Well, I thought I'd made that fairly clear by now, but you know, if it needs a stronger answer, I'll certainly do it. First of all, the question is all wrong. The Bible doesn't fit any thinking person's worldview, simply because, as we all know, the Bible is full of errors and contradictions and. Yeah, the Bible's certainly not perfect. I mean, it's the best we've got, but it's certainly not perfect in any way. And certainly, bibliolatry is a common thing in the, you know, amongst the mainstream Christians. Bibliolatry, meaning worshiping the book itself and lifting it up as being the Word of God, as opposed to what it really is, which is a signpost pointing to Jesus. So, to answer this question, I have to say to you that the Bible does not fit my worldview, nor do I change my worldview to fit the Bible. It's really much different than that. And it happens at a much earlier stage. You know, when we're little kids, you know, there's this thing, there's good, evil, there's freedom, bondage, there's love, hate. There are these basic choices that we make as we grow up. I, as a matter of just my personality, the way I'm wired, we're all different, but I tended to think more highly of good versus evil, of freedom versus bondage, and love versus hate. And it just so happens that the message of the brown-skinned carpenter, as Bob refers to them, fits my worldview just fine. The fact that I believe in the teachings of Christ, and I try to, it doesn't matter what I try, I just love the man. When I say I love Jesus, I don't mean like, because the Bible tells me so, and I have to go to find all these verses to back it up. I mean, I love Jesus in the sense that if I saw him, I would go running up to him and throw my arms around him and weep. I mean, I love Jesus. I mean, I'm not afraid to tell you that. Fuck, man, you think I'm going to sit up here and, you know, be a gay guy with HIV, you know, all the stuff I've told you, and be ashamed of that? Fuck no. You gotta be kidding me. So, no, my worldview doesn't fit the Bible or vice versa. It's just that Jesus fits my worldview just fine. Thank you very much. And the third question is, for that jackass Jim in his undisclosed location. Now, I'm not pleased with that. In fact, I'm going to deal with that in just a moment. I mean, no. This guy get off calling one of my callers a jackass. You jackass. In any case, apparently Jim, on some program or another... Well, anyway, let's put it like this. He's directing this question for Jim, as if Jim lives next door, or I'm going to pick up the phone and find Jim's home phone number, which I do not know, and ask him this question for this person who wrote me the email. But apparently this person seems to believe that at some point Jim made a reference to the expression "every knee shall bow" on some show. I don't think he made it on my show. I'm fairly positive. Now, sometimes Jim uses a speakerphone and I miss some of the words. When he goes quiet, sometimes the voice level drops out that I can't. So, you know, sometimes I miss some of Jim's words and I just fake it, go like, you know. But I don't think he's ever made any reference to bended knee or every knee shall bow. Anyway, the question reads, that is for that jackass Jim. How can a religion that warns that every knee shall bow and that depends on an authoritarian hierarchy be a foundation for a society or government based on democracy and individual liberty? Well, we're going to talk more about Jim in just a minute, but I've got to tell you, when I read this question, I was just in shock. I have never seen anyone refer to the phrase or the verse, in fact, there's more than one verse, it refers to every knee shall bow as a warning. How can a religion that warns every knee shall bow, a warning? Lord, that indicates to me such a fundamental misunderstanding of what this is that I'm just appalled. It's hard to wrap your head around it. A warning, every knee shall bow. Do you think, see, by phrasing it that way, what this person apparently believes is that at point God's going to come back down and force everyone to fall down on bended knee and worship him, as if God were Pol Pot, or as if God were Kim Jong-il, or if God were George Bush, or Adolf Hitler, that we require, that God would not care, or, well, let's just go into the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, however you want to do it, that the Trinity would somehow be so needy for control that they would force as a Trinity, they would force people to bow down, even though in these people's hearts they were thinking, you son of a bitch, I hate you, and I really don't worship you, but you're forcing me to bend down. This is such a fundamental distortion of what it's about that I'm appalled. I really am appalled. It's patently not true. The phrase "every knee shall bow" is it's laughable to consider it a warning. God does not need you, sir. do you sit up nights worrying that God's going to make you bow down and how pissed off you're going to be? What who the hell do you think you are? Good Lord. Oh, and then the question goes on to read, every knee shall bow, and that depends on an authoritarian hierarchy to be a foundation for a society or government based on democracy and individual liberty. Well, of course, everything man-made at the hands of human beings is hierarchical. It's all authoritarian. And in fact, the example of Jesus was everything but authoritarian and hierarchical, in the sense that I'm the Father is me, etc., etc. There's no hierarchy there. We're one and the same, as he would have tried to get it across. But, you know, basically none of this stuff is any of this man's fucking business. I got to tell you, who the fuck do you think you are asking that? Let me explain to you. Growing up gay, we're not able to turn to pastors and ask them their advice to understand spirituality or to understand how to apply these things in our hearts and lives. We cannot do that because it would make us too vulnerable. We cannot ask the questions that are really pending in our hearts at that time. You know, I'm gay, is that all right? You know, how do I reconcile that? We can't turn to our friends, we can't turn to our pastors, can't turn to our churches, can't turn to our any support groups, you know. So I had to figure it out on my jackass. You fucking figure it out. You've got the nerve to write this stuff to me like I owe you an answer? Jesus Christ, I owe you an answer. Figure it out yourself. You know, if I thought this was an honest plea for some kind of guidance, you know, I might give you a website, but I don't owe you a damn thing. I don't owe you any explanation. And in fact, I didn't have any help. You work out your own salvation, buddy. And he may not like the word salvation. Oh, no, I bet you just don't like that word at all. Well, perhaps you'll be more comfortable with the word peace of mind or how to fit in the... It's how we fit in life, how we fit in with others. Anything you want to call it, I call it salvation. But anyway, you figure it out. And how dare you call Jim a jackass? If there's anybody on this... Look, I don't get paid for this. You think the Head On Radio Network paid the almost $1,000 in equipment that I had to buy to do this show? You know, I'm a freaking AIDS patient, dude. I mean, I could use the rest. I'm not doing this damn thing for my health, buddy. I mean, if you don't like what I've got to say to you, I encourage you, write the network, write everybody, and tell them what an asshole I am, and get me off the air. In fact, I'm begging you, I need the rest. Do you think that this helps me, sitting up till 11 o'clock at night and doing, what, 14, 15 hours of prep, in addition to everything else I have to do to get this show going? You think I'm doing that for my health? Good God in heaven, man. But that's not even it. That's not even all of it. Oh, let's get back to Jim. If anybody gets to call anybody asshole, I mean, if you've got a problem, or I'm sorry, jackass, if you've got a problem with something that Jim said on another show on this network, you deal with that host and you worry them. But you, sir, will not refer to, you know, if I perceive someone as being a jackass, I won't take their call. In fact, jackass, I'm not taking your calls. And in fact, if I get any more email from you, I'm deleting them unread. You know, I'm addressing you as if you're straight. But, you know, gay folks, we have sort of a code between each other. We have a shorthand. You know, we can say these things, all of these words, we can say them much more briefly. So I've just said this, I'm assuming you're straight. If you're gay, I can shorten this to 6 words. Get the fuck off my dress. Now, about his guest, Jesus, he wants me to, I mean, good Lord, he wants me to have Dan Barker from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He says, I want to suggest a guest. Dan Barker from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He's a former minister turned atheist, a musician, and an activist, and a really interesting guy. He was a party to a Supreme Court case that his group just lost. I've heard him interviewed on other shows, and I think he'd be a great guest for you. I don't know if he's gay, but I realize that's not a prerequisite. No, that is not a prerequisite whatsoever, but credibility is. And personally, this man has no credibility with me. I know about Dan Barker. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Dan Barker. Now, I have to tell you, the organization Freedom From Religion Foundation has basically two functions. One is to beat the hell out of anybody with faith, and basically make you out to be an idiot. The other one is to promote separation of church and state. But why in the hell would I have somebody on from a dual-purpose, hidden agenda organization like Freedom for Religion Foundation when I could just as easily have on an organization that's been around for 60 years called Americans United for the Separation of Church and State? A highly credible organization that is not about beating anyone up who happens to be a person of faith, but is a organization dedicated to church and state, not dedicated to the abolition of church and then separating it out from the state. Let me tell you about Dan Barker. You know, he starts out at age 15, 16, hooked up with that fraud Catherine Kuhlman. He was all hooked up in her ministry. Do you remember Catherine Kuhlman? Maybe you don't. She was a healer. She was a glory hallelujah healer, and she had a television show, and she had these huge revivals, and people would come up to her and they would be healed, and they would walk away with all of their. Now, this is a guy, this is where he trained. This is where he got his faith that he has supposedly lost. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But, I mean, all right, not only did she hook somebody's husband, she stole somebody's husband, got him to divorce his wife, married him, then a few years later they divorced. I mean, I'm just wondering where the blessings in her own life. But here's the thing. One of her crusades in 1967, there was a Dr. Robert Nolan, and he conducted a case study of 20 people in that particular revival, or ministry, or whatever the hell Catherine Coleman was calling it at the time, who claimed to have been cured during that service. Now, Dr. Nolan did a long-term follow-up of all these people who went in to and walked up to her and to be healed at her workshop. Now, of the 23 people that he followed up on, not one of the 23 people were cured from their diseases. And furthermore, one woman who was said to have been cured from spinal cancer, and she threw away her braces and she ran across the stage to Catherine Coleman going, "I'm healed, I'm healed." The next day, her spine collapsed, and she died four months later. So this is the kind of shyster, huckster, fake that this Dan Barker trained with. Okay, so after he's done with Catherine Coleman, then he goes into the full-time for-profit ministry. Honey, he maintained a touring musical ministry for 17 years. He was a record producer. He was an arranger and a songwriter. Cha-ching! He did Christian music, list of people. He worked with people, these incredible examples of Christianity, like Pat Boone. Ooh, Robert Schuller. Boy, that's just how I'm getting close to Jesus, isn't it? You see, what's annoying me so much about this is the way Dan puts it is, following 5 years of reading, Dan gradually outgrew his religious beliefs. He says, if I had limited myself to Christian authors, I'd still be a Christian today. So what is this? Am I to believe that the man's like almost 35, 40 years old and he's never read anything but Christian authors? Give me a break. Yeah, right. And he says, so I just lost faith in faith. And he declared his atheism publicly in January 1984. Well, sir, what you call faith, I wouldn't piss on if it was on fire. What are you talking about? I lost faith in faith. Where in your lengthy resume do you talk about a walk with Jesus? Where in your lengthy resume do you talk about throwing your arms around the man and with tears of joy? No, you talk about your faith healers, you talk about your religion industry, you talk about how many records you produced, you talk about all the TV. Here, he's a serial interviewer. I mean, why would you want to see this guy on my show? I mean, it's obvious. The guy is asking me, you know, what do I get from church, and what makes me any different than a right winger, and what is this about warning about, you know. He wants me to interview a professional person of faith basher. I mean, good God, man. You know, I've had HIV for over 20 years now. You know how long these meds typically continue to prevent to fight it? About 20 years. See, I don't know how much time I've got left. Do you fucking mind if I at least die with my faith? Do I have to give that to you? Do I have to have this son of a bitch on my show to beat the fuck out of me because you think I'm an idiot? No, sir, I don't think so. Don't think so. He's a serial interviewer, this guy. He's been on Donahue twice, Sally Jesse Raphael three times, Oprah Winfrey twice. He's been on Morton Downey Jr., Maury Povich, Night Talk with Jane Whitney, A Closer Look with Faith Daniels. He's been on Pat Robertson's CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, Straight Talk. He's been on Good Morning America. This man stopped making money in the religion industry and moved on over to the bashing industry. This man has as much credibility to me as an ex-gay. Yeah, I'm going to have him. He's been on Hannity and Holmes. There's a long list. Court TV. Christ. Lord. So that's, I've been really kind of, my language is very colorful tonight. And something that upsets me is fundamentally of this, you'll hear that sodomy. In fact, sir, you can go tell your friends that a faggot read your beads. And you can ride out on the horse you rode in on. Anyway, getting back to Jim. Jim, you are welcome to phone this program anytime you want. I mean, I might call you a little bit bawdy from time to time, but you've certainly never been a jackass, not like the email from this self-righteous bastard. So anyway, you know, whatever your problem is with Jim, sir, you work it out with a host that you perceive has a problem with Jim. Jim's welcome on the show, whereas you are not. Don't have any intention of dealing with you again. I think I've made myself very, very clear. You know, in addition to, you know, like the woman who broke her spine, this Coleman person, you know, she was doing this faith healing crap on homosexuals too. Remember Mel White from Soul Force? We had a representative from Soul Force here. Mel White for 35 years was, well, the Christian industry had pretty much screwed him up regarding his thoughts about who he was. And for 35 years, unsuccessful in changing into a heterosexual, he had tried shock therapy, and he even went to, you know what I'm about to say, a Catherine Kuhlman crusade where she prayed over him and cast out the demon of homosexuality. Yeah, that worked. Yes, sir, you trained with frauds, then you went into the for-profit religion industry. Now you've changed horses so that you can make some more money beating up people of faith. See ya, bye. So, as we come up on the break, this is Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back. I've got bruises on my memory. I've got tear stains on my hands. And in the mirror there's a vision of what used to be a man. I'm a
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
I grew up thinking you could do anything and be anything because that was the American dream. But because I'm gay, I'm denied that. Because of people's prejudices, I'm denied a civil right. Because I'm gay, I can never get married. Is that what America's about? I don't know. Well, that's not the America I was raised in.
resist letting that break play out. I just can't resist. I love that song. Oh, I love that song. I don't have very many boundaries, folks, but that was one of them. And, you know, it's not, you know, I guess I need to put up, like, buoys. Like, you know, they put up markers in the ocean where there's shoals, you know, to warn the ships away, or maybe like a lighthouse. Maybe we need to put up some little warning lights on some of my, you know, there's some stuff that you heard it, and that was all there was to that. And so we won't go any further. But I do have, speaking of ex-homosexuals, oh my God, the Exodus Ministries, Lord, they're trying another one. The Exodus Freedom Conference, you know, that's the one where we just heard all the ex-gays, you know, apologizing to everybody for all the harm they've heard. Well, these folks, they're not giving up. In fact, they are becoming increasingly political. In fact, that's their whole new focus, to push the Exodus Ministry on your member of Congress. See, last fall, there's this guy with this Alan Chambers. He told, it was on NPR, he told the person on Fresh Air, I think her name is Gross, something Gross, that he was proud of the new political direction that he has brought to Exodus. Yes, in fact, they have a new person there, and Amanda Banks, and she is saying that she is playing on the revolution. That's the theme of a conference that they just had. Exodus is going to bring about a revolution to effect a radical change in the larger culture, meaning politics. She is not one of this, Amanda lady. She's not one of the former homosexuals. She's got a, quote, family member who's affected by homosexuality. She also worked for Focus on the Family, and she spent several years there. Now, in fact, she was a Focus's chief liaison to Congress, working on federal policy, is who she was. But now she went to work for the Exodus folks. Now, oh, Jesus. She still has ties to Focus on the Family, and her husband also is hooked up with Focus on the Family and something called Wabash Group, which is dedicated to conservative political candidates and causes. And her husband is Jim Banks, and he is the president of that organization. And guess what? Focus on the Family is the very top of their list of important clients, very top. So this latest Exodus conference, she says they are, well, the theme of the conference was, and I quote, mobilizing the body of Christ to minister grace and truth to a world impacted by homosexuality. In your wildest dreams. Yes, we are living in a world that is impacted by homosexuality. Never mind we're shot in the streets. Never mind we can't get past a hate crimes law. Never mind we can't serve openly in the military. Never mind we can't get married. But we are impacting the world to the point that a ministry, well-funded, needs to lobby Congress so that we don't ruin it for everybody else, you see. She is claiming that they are lobbying Congress because of the, quote, radical impact of the gay lobby. Well, you know, what is the, to me, the, I mean, radical impact of a gay lobby means, you know, the lobby that, you know, some gay decorator did, and it's just fabulous. And the radical impact of the gay lobby. So, in any case, let's see. They're going to Congress and they're presenting to them example who claim to be changed. I mean, you don't have to really change. All you have to do is go to Congress and tell Congress that, you know, here's some people that change. They don't have to really be changed. And it's driving home the message, they believe, that that could change the laws. It says that what they're trying to get across is that because people can change their sexuality, they are not deserving of any recognition of any sort in federal law. Now, of course, a lot of people don't change at all in Exodus. These are the true homosexuals or people who are not able to function with the opposite sex. There are a lot of guilt-ridden bisexuals who end up in programs like this, and I suppose they can be coerced into operating at one extreme of their sexual range or the other, but you know, it's so anyway, they're holding these these ministers or these representatives at the Senate, meetings with them to formulate messages. In fact, there's one senator, they say that there's one particular senator that consults with Exodus to formulate all of his messages and to fine-tune all of his speeches. They're saying that the chief consideration is that they don't want any policy proposals that are going to infringe on the ministry that we do. In other words, they don't want any proposals from the federal government, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to go away, that would somehow impact on them the enormous amount of money they are stealing from the GLBT community by putting off this fraud. It ranks right up there with the frontal lobotomies and shock treatments and Catherine Kuhlman, you know. But no impact that money. They don't want to make that money go away. They say they want to ask two questions. They say, does the issue affect our ministries, and do we have an opportunity to offer a unique perspective? So they're taking Exodus door to door in the House and the Senate of the federal government to make it quite clear that change is possible and that granting equality and protections for gays and lesbians is completely unnecessary. And of course, the senators, by and large, they've never heard of this. I mean, most people have never even heard of the ex-gays unless you're in sentimental Christian sort of a thing. I mean, so this is new to them, so they're biting on it. You know, they're thinking, oh, well, this is a way out. We don't have to say we're for gay rights. We could say we're for gay recovery or GLBT recovery or whatever the thing that they're doing is. And Jesus Christ. You know, and they're also saying that, you know, to have any protections for GLBT folks, it's creating a category of thought crimes. Here they're taking all the words from the traditional the Traditional Values Coalition's book about how we can arrest ministers for preaching from the Bible, we've been down the roads. She says it's going to require religious organizations to hire people and that would threaten their mission, when in fact there are sections of the bill, in fact there are six of them, I believe, that specifically exempt religious organizations from the Non-Discrimination Act. So that's the latest from Exodus. Exodus is no longer going to sit there and wait for the gays to come to them. Oh, no, 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 no. They're hitting Congress. They're becoming a full-time lobbying organization, and they're going to fix up the gay folks on the side, you understand, but no way do they want that money flow to be interrupted. No way do they want that ex-gay ministry to go away. No way do they want this to be looked at as anything other than a lifestyle. You know what I'm going to do? I've been talking an awful lot tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the lesbian track of the night, and it's so good, I just love it. And I often skip that, because I often do the lesbian track in the second hour, and so it often gets skipped. And tonight it's just too good. It's too good. And actually, this is Tracy Chapman live with Eric Clapton. It doesn't get any better than that. Now, Tracy, the general consensus is that Chapman is a lesbian, but at least she's bisexual, at the very least. But general consensus is that she's a lesbian, but she really hasn't come out. Her name is often linked to Alice Walker, who is the author of The Color Purple. And Alice Walker is also known to be bisexual. So it's just an amazing track. I used Give Me One Reason. I used that particular track as part of a promo one time, but I used the studio version. This is the live and unplugged version of Tracy Chapman doing it with Eric Clapton, and that's Give Me One Reason. Please roll that. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, Tracy Chapman.
Change my mind. Hey,
Absolutely fabulous. And speaking of fabulous, welcome Jim from an undisclosed location to Strictly Confidential. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening. How are you, Peter?
I'm well. I was a little out of control for a minute there, but I'm just fine now.
That's a non-issue, really. I hear you 5x5. Do you hear me 5x5?
Yes, sir, I do tonight. In fact, it's very clear tonight. Thank you.
Okay, great. You know, as far as your program is concerned, I enjoy your reportage. I enjoy the variety. And when I call you, I try to bring something to the table. And if I have embody, and if I have offended someone, then so be it. I offer them no apology whatsoever.
Not me either, Jim.
And I've told stories about Tallulah, Betty, Joan Crawford, stuff like that. And basically, I'm not political. I haven't really been political on your show, have I?
No, sir. No, sir, you haven't. This I explained it as best I could. But that's what it said literally. No, yeah. You haven't. In fact, you've been much better than I was earlier this evening. In fact, if you had done what I did earlier this evening, you might be banned from the show. I guess I can get away with it. At least for this evening, they haven't disconnected me yet. They may disconnect me tomorrow. I don't know.
Well, you know, hey, that's how you felt, and that's how you expressed it, and that's your business, okay? And I have no problem with it. I've heard those words all my life. And I will say this to these people. I have done the best I can to serve my country in every way I possibly can. And I've gotten good marks for it. And I've tried to be as good a person as I can. And I do believe in Christ and the pardon he offers. And I'm grateful to him for it. And speaking of tables, I realize I've spoken in certain ways in which I've invited self-criticism, and if I should allow my own crumbs of self-criticism tonight to drop from my table and be devoured by any detractor, then they can gorge themselves upon it. And as far as the word impaction is concerned, I think they suffer not from an impaction of the bowel, but from an impaction of the brain.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Jim. That was succinct and to the point.
Well, it's called speaking effectively and clearly and adhering to the KISS principle that the military uses. Keep it simple and short. And, you know, I admire you for what you do. I know you have your own personal hardships. I respect those greatly. And there are not many people who are in your shoes, instead of, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, you're getting on this radio night after night, and you're trying to help people and make them feel better about themselves. And I'm not promoting any agenda whatsoever. But I'm just grateful that you are able to do this, and I hope that you have 20 more years. And 20 more years of doing it, if you want to.
Well, Jim, probably if the meds stop working, I'll survive on spite alone.
Well, I do appreciate your allowing me to be a guest on your show, and I've just tried to bring something to the table, and if it's offensive to someone, then so be it. Or as Kurt Vonnegut would say, so it goes.
And so it goes. And you are welcome to phone. You're welcome to phone anytime. I have to admit, you scared me one night when we started going off. I think it was the first night I went into that restroom stuff. I think you told a story about some guy, I think, broke the commode off the floor or something. I mean, I have to tell you.
Story. The man actually told it on himself. And I said, well, you know, why not share this? I mean, talk about a reason not to behave in that way. You could come out of a public laboratory or a cottage, as they say it in the UK, with a broken skull when you flipped over and done a somersault. I just thought, well, that happened. And this person told me that.
I couldn't believe it.
Be carried that to was the hospital that with a concussion.
Oh, Lord, I'm sure the Internet's still recovering from that one. You know, that will, that anything said on the show ends up, you know, forever in the archives. For 300 years from now, somebody's going to come across and have a, and just be horrified. I think that that is a time immemorial remark that you did that evening.
Well, again, listen, keep it going on, okay?
Thank you, I shall.
All right. Good night to you. And all good night to see, and Mr. and Mrs. America and all those other people out there who are listening in the dark. You know?
Amen.
What was
Thank
that line
you,
Gloria Swanson used in Sunset Boulevard? It wasn't the pictures that got small, it was the people.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
All right, old buddy. Take care of yourself here.
Good night, sir.
Good
Thank
night,
you for
buddy.
Calling, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was... I've got an audio clip of that somewhere. It was back to... What was it? Gloria Swanson's line, "We had faces." The pictures that got small. Wonderful movie. I have a very disturbing... article to do. It is disturbing, and I'm in fact going to do it, but it's 9:59. So as we go to the top of the hour break, this is Peter Godbold. I'm your host on Strictly Confidential. Thank you for being here, and I'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. A new video being shown on the web threatens to target the diplomats and embassies of the U.S. and its global allies. The video was produced by one of America's top members of Al-Qaeda, a California native now thought to be hiding in Pakistan with a $1 million bounty on his head. The Homeland Security threat level remains at elevated or yellow on the ground and orange or high for all domestic and international flights. Afghanistan President Karzai and President Bush concurred at a joint press conference this morning at Camp David that the Taliban must be rooted out of the mountains in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and there would be no exchange for the hostages. The Taliban announced today the fate of 21 captive South Koreans is in the hands of Presidents Karzai and Bush. The militant spokesman also vowed to continue kidnapping foreigners. President Karzai said that he'll find out who's supporting the Taliban at a formal assembly on Wednesday. Karzai went on to dismiss the Taliban, saying, quote, "It's a force defeated, frustrated, acting in cowardice by killing children going to school." End quote. A curfew has been imposed after a suicide bombing in the northern Iraqi city of Tal Afar killed at least 28 people, 19 of which were children. The bomber slammed a dump truck loaded with explosives and gravel into a residential neighborhood where children were playing outside. Another Al-Qaeda terrorist named in two deadly Iraq attacks that destroyed the minaret straddling one of the Shiite sacred golden mosques has been killed in an airstrike. Iraq's new government lost its last five Sunni ministers today. They announced a boycott of cabinet meetings. President al-Maliki had promised to reconcile Iraq's religious minorities to lead the country. The eight tribal factions that have been fighting each other for 4 years in Darfur have agreed on a common position on key issues to be finalized in a meeting with the Sudanese government in 2 to 3 months. Last week, the UN announced it was sending in the largest peacekeeping force in world history. At least 200,000 people have died in Darfur since 2003. Two men were charged today with possession of an explosive device after they were pulled over for speeding Saturday night and police found pipe bombs in their trunk. They were near a South Carolina naval base whose brig houses enemy combatants. The Florida college students, a Kuwaiti and an Egyptian, in America legally, said that they bought the components at Walmart. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers.
Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. Collaborativedivorce.tv.
The famous fossil Lucy, the oldest human skeleton ever found, has been removed from Ethiopia to embark on a 6-year tour of American museums. Archaeologists are protesting, saying the bones are too fragile for travel. Ethiopia is looking forward to the revenue. The Space Shuttle Endeavour is go for launch Wednesday night. It'll be the 22nd flight to the ISS. An undercover television reporter was found out at a hackers' conference being held in Las Vegas. Attendees spotted a camera in her purse and chased her out of DEF CON. Michelle Madigan of NBC ran off and sped away in a car. Domestic flight delays have reached a 13-year high. Lost luggage complaints are also up. Passengers should brace for more. Higher demand for air travel is to blame. Oil lost $3.42 a barrel because people are driving less and traders are eyeing a slowdown in the economy. At last check, a barrel was selling for $72.06, but you wouldn't think so by today because we had a record day. In fact, one of the best days since 2003 as the Dow hurtled back to life and bargain hunters swooped in to scoop up financial sector stocks. It actually affected markets throughout the world, lifting them all. At the close, the Dow was up 287 points at 13,468. The NASDAQ gained 36 points at 2547. The S&P was ahead 35 at 1467. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And he's back. Riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential. A man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome back to the second hour of Strictly Confidential. I am your slightly irregular host, Peter Godbold, and I am so glad to have you with me on this Monday evening on a hot night. The telephone number is 877, the number 4. Head on, that's 877, the number 4, head on. That translates to being 877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, please use 304-658-3333, and that will save the studio a dollar or two. And email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I'd love to hear from you. I have lots of folks out there I get emails from, but they don't talk to me. They really don't love me. They just email me. They just, for this show, they don't really like. Let's see. I'm going to read a paragraph. I'm going to read it verbatim. I try not to do that often, but this is a paragraph from a letter that a man named Patrick Atkins wrote to his family in 2000. It's a paragraph from a letter that Patrick Atkins wrote to his family that went the story is actually going to be painful to do. It's a very sad story. I want all of you to know, this is the letter he's writing to his family. I want you all to know that Brett is my best friend in the whole world. And I love him more than life itself. I beg all of you to reach out to him with the same love you have for me. He is extremely special, and once you know him, you'll understand why I love him so much. Trust me, God loves us all so very much. And I know he approves of the love that Brett and I have shared for over 20 years. That's the paragraph. This letter was ignored. Patrick fell ill, seriously ill, in 2005. He suffered an aneurysm and then a stroke when he was on a business trip to Atlanta. Now, Brett, his partner of well over 20 years, rushed to Atlanta to be with his partner, who fell with an aneurysm and a stroke. However, Brett's presence at the hospital didn't go over very well, regardless of this letter. Didn't go over very well with Patrick's mother, Jeanne Atkins. Well, to say that it was didn't go over well, that's an understatement. Patrick's family, you see, has steadily refused to accept their son's, quote, lifestyle, or to accept his life, as we all know what it really means. His mother believed that homosexuality is a sin, and that Brett and his relatives are sinners, and that they're evil for accepting Brett and Patrick's relationship. She testified that no amount of evidence could convince her that Patrick and Brett were happy together, or that they had a positive and beneficial relationship. His partner, Brett, has spent much of the last 2 years trying to win guardianship of his partner, his longtime partner, from his partner's mother, Thomas and Jeanine. See, they took it to court, and the judge has ruled, the judge tried to rule in Brett's favor that he could indeed visit his partner. But they couldn't go all the way because the insurance says they didn't have the correct legal document. You see, this is what people run into when we're not able to get married. Basically, what's happened here is that, they lived together 12 years. And then they finally bought a home in 1992. They owned the home jointly. They had a title was joint title, and Atkins was the chief executive. Now Atkins is the man who's had the stroke. Patrick collapsed from the business trip, as I said, and he had an aneurysm and had a stroke. So in the hospital, he was moved to his partner Brett was denied access to visit him while he was in the hospital. Now, the hospital staff was sympathetic and let Conrad sneak in after hours after the family had gone to visit his partner of so many years. Now, Patrick was eventually moved to a nursing facility, and there at the nursing facility, Conrad would have to come after regular visiting hours so that Patrick's parents would not run into him or see him. Now, in June 2005, the Atkins moved Patrick to their home. He is disabled at this point. They moved him to their home, and they're refusing to let Conrad visit him at all. They're refusing to let him talk to him on the phone, this after practically a lifetime together. In fact, they had been together longer than Patrick had even lived at home. In other words, Patrick grew up in his home with his parents, moved out and met his partner, and they had been together longer than the entire time that Patrick had spent at his home. Now, Patrick's able to walk and dress and bathe himself and feed himself with some help, and he can read fairly accurately, but he only understands about 25% of what he can read. And he's able to engage in very simple conversations, and he requires supervision, of course. He has problems with short-term memory, and he has problems maintaining a prolonged attention span. And his condition today is much like it was when they first took this to court. Difficult story. So Conrad has spent 2 years trying to win guardianship, to take him back from his parents who despise Conrad and who despise the relationship that they had together. The family has asked an appeals court to reconsider granting visitation, arguing the judge failed to recognize that as guardians, Patrick's parents should have not have had final say on who can have contact with his son. But it's not going very well. The guardian, the courts ruled in this way. They're saying that they were appointed to act on behalf of Patrick and observed that it was evident that Patrick loves Brett very much, and it's evident that Brett loves Patrick. Unfortunately, in this instance, without legal rights, all the love in the world cannot make the outcome of this situation as it should be had Brett and Patrick had control of things, or if they could have just gotten married. The court went on to say that nothing can change the tragedy of a mother who would rather not see her son recover than for him to be gay. Yes, in fact, his mother has said that she would rather see him die than recover and rejoin his partner of so many years. The court says that the selfishness of such, quote, motherly love, if that can be called, is incomprehensible. And even if Patrick ever recovers to the point that he understands what his mother and father have done to him and to Patrick, his life partner, they better pray that their son's capable of far more compassion than the mother has displayed toward her son and toward his partner, Brett. You know, in the meantime, the state legislature is arguing about gay marriage and urging people to protect themselves by certain legal provisions that are very complicated. In other words, in order to avoid this situation, Brett and Pat would have had to have set up a power of attorney, also a living will. This is in Indiana, by the way. Also, they would have to have appointed a legal health care representative, and also a legal will. So you need four separate documents, all signed and sealed, to have avoided this situation with Patrick's mother. Now, Patrick's mother is... you see, these guys, they ran a business. Let's see if I have the reference here. I should have it handy. These fellows ran a business called Atkins Elegant Desserts. Now, their link is very long, but if you will just Google Atkins, A-T-K-I-N-S, Elegant Desserts, you'll see the link there near the top of the page, and you can visit the site. Now, they ran this company together, he and his partner, and... So the mom is trying to take over the whole company, too. They gave his partner, Brett, one-third of the checking account. Even though the checking account was a joint checking account, the courts gave him only one-third of the money in the checking account, even though they both contributed to it, and they gave him none of investment funds. Part of their money was invested. He's still able to, because they have the name in the house and their two names, they're able to live, the fellow is still able to live in the house. But if you are in the habit of ordering fine desserts as gifts for your friends, these people ship worldwide beautiful cheesecakes and, chocolate cheesecake, black forest cake, you know, the whole drill. I encourage you not to buy anything else from Atkins Elegant Desserts. Perhaps we can get the wicked stepmother's attention by not supporting the business that she has stolen from Patrick and his longtime partner, with which the court deeply sympathizes, but for which the court cannot help. Disturbing story, and it's going on right here in the United States of America, simply because the mother views the homosexuality as evil and unacceptable, and she would rather have her son die than recover and join his part. And the letter said, "I want you to know that Brett is my best whole world, and I love him more than life itself, and I beg all of you to reach out to him with the same love you have for me. He's extremely special, and once you know him, you'll understand why I love him so much. Trust me, God loves all of us very much. I know he approves of the love that Brett and I have shared for over 20 years. And this letter was written to his mother, in fact, the whole family, back in 2000. And here we are in 2007. And by the way, Patrick was only 47 years old when that happened to him. It could happen to any one of us. So if you in fact have, I encourage you to find out as quickly as possible what documents are necessary in your state. Even if your state does have civil unions, there are still back doors that unsympathetic relatives can go through to do everything to keep you from visiting, to, if it's a long-term care situation, they can take them home and prevent you from entering the home. They can prevent you from phoning. They can destroy your life. Basically, just destroy your life. Snap, just like that. Isn't that amazing? Another interesting aspect on a different subject is a woman named Barbara Pinkerton. She broke up with her partner, and that happens every day. But Pinkerton tried to remove her ex as a beneficiary of her state pension benefits. But she can't. Same things happen to other folks many times over. You see, in cases where a public employee, the public employees in retirement system, okay, once you put something on, a beneficiary on that form, that's it. It's permanent forever, regardless, unless you're married. If you're married, change it to any new partner you wish to. Of course, you better change it to your next married partner, but at least you have the option of changing it. So now, even though these folks are no longer together, Barbara and whatever her partner's name, her partner is still going to be receiving the benefits, the survivor benefits, or any other benefits from the Public Employees Retirement System Board. This is from the Statesman Journal. So here again, gay couples don't have the right to get married, you see. So, of course, the law would apply to an unmarried opposite-sex couple, too. But, you see, the opposite-sex couple could, of course, get married to fulfill the law. So another situation of folks like us getting messed up in the wonderful legal system we call the United States of America. And there's a happy story in Ontario. It's a man named George Smitherman, and he's regarded as the most powerful politician in Ontario. He married his partner Christopher, yes, in a small ceremony at a remote lodge in northern Ontario on Sunday. There are about 200 people there. The ceremony, it's an Indian. You see, he was an American Indian, and the ceremony involved the two-spirited ceremony. In the Indian culture, the gay and GLBT folks were referred to as two-spirited. They were often mystics, medicine men, etc. And so they've been together for a couple of years. They've dated on and off for 10 years, but they were together. You know, they finally, I guess, made the commitment about 2 years ago, and so they got married. And it's an interesting story. Apparently, Smitherman was a drug addict and was able to through therapy, and he beat his addiction. And in the Toronto gay party scene, you know, back then, back in the day, and he's been clean for over 10 years. And in the legislature, he's known as a pit bull for vicious debates. The man can lock onto a topic and win. And this is an interesting thing. You know, you go from the mother who won't let her son see his partner to the couple who gets married in front of 200 people with the whole family there, to the can't remove her ex-partner from her benefits plan. It's just amazing to me how screwed up this country is. And speaking of marriage, I want to run a little track that was sent to me, and it's a track from a site that has a number of songs about gay marriage. And it's a track called You and I, and it's a beautiful song, actually. It's called You and I, and it's by Yolanda, and this is to gay marriage.
For me. nothing can change the way we feel. And as time goes on, it will reveal all the secrets of
And indeed, if you went to his website, you probably would marry him. The guy, he not only could he sing, he's party. And at the beginning of the show, I neglected to tell you about some upcoming guests I'm excited about. We are going to have, fairly soon, the date is not set, but we have spoken with her, the president-elect of the American Library Association, which is, of course, the association regarding libraries. And maybe we can talk to them about that bookmobile we keep talking about in chat. We're going to be talking with her. She's an amazing, amazing woman. We'll be talking to her about library materials for gay, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender communities. We'll no doubt talk about children's books and all the things that are going on regarding library resources and services to folks who are gender and sexual outlaws. That will be an interesting show. In addition to that, we will soon have, let's see where that went. We are soon going, from the American Society on Aging, which is, of course, the definitive organization regarding aging in this country. We're going to have a representative from the American Society on Aging from the LGAIN division. Now, the LGAIN is the Lesbian and Gay Aging Issues Network. We're going to have a PhD joining us over the next week or so regarding the special needs that GLBT folks have regarding aging and housing and the special issues that they go through. So we just never seem to. We're just blessed. I tell you, the folks are just embracing this program, and we're having the guests that I never dreamed that we would have. And for that, I'm grateful, and very grateful to all of the listeners. Before we go to the bottom of the hour break, I have a couple of short stories. Elton John, I meant to cover this last week, just didn't get to it. Hang on to your hats, kids. Elton John is saying that the internet should be shut down for 5 years. Yes, what Elton John is saying. He's saying that the internet is getting in the way of people creating good music, and it should be shut down. In a commentary, he said, the internet led to people sitting at home and making their own records. He said, sometimes that's okay, but it doesn't bode well for a long-term artistic vision. And he says he's proposing an incredible experiment, and that would be shutting down the internet for 5 years and see what sort of art is produced over that span. I don't think, quite frankly, I could survive 5 years in an information blackout, but that's what Elton wants to do. Now, Elton, poor Elton, he's 60, and apparently he missed the bus. When the bus said, all aboard, we're leaving for the information superhighway, he apparently missed that bus. He's referring to himself as the biggest technophobe of all time. And doesn't that sound just like a technophobe to say, shut her down, I don't understand it, so you better shut it down for at least 5 years. Yep, at least 5 years. Yeah, that's the story from Elton John. I promise every word was true. And as we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free at 877, the number 4 head-on. I am your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to NightSounds@BillyShearsMusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
People should be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to enter into.
People should be free to enter into the relationships that they choose.
I think different states are likely to come to different conclusions, and that's appropriate.
When it comes to conferring legal status on relationships, that is a matter left to the state.
I don't think there should necessarily be a federal policy in this area.
This message brought to you by Lynn and Dick Cheney.
Hold for dinner, if you like what you see.
And welcome back. And I am pleased to have our dear friend, Kate, from the Badlands of Arizona.
Yeah, I will. I'm on
welcome, rural. Welcome.
Pardon me?
Welcome, Kate. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm on my rural landline, and so sometimes it just hangs up and dumps me, and I just say okay, and I dial right back. So if I get dumped, just keep talking, and I'll be right back.
Okay, I'll fake it. I'll do like, and then Kate said, and then I'll do my line, and then I'll make your line.
Or one time she said, or here's an email I got 3 weeks ago.
Right, yeah, we'll start reading your emails. Well, yes, well, that's what we'll do.
Oh, God. Thank you for the, well, I don't know what it was the last. I had to disconnect about the story about your two friends, and so that's the dessert. People get their just desserts, but not, oh, God, not that way.
That was a very sad story, difficult to do.
Yeah, so painful. I don't even want to think about it right now. And also, I missed the first about maybe 12 or 14 minutes of the program because I thought I wasn't getting a stream like we didn't all afternoon. And I'm dinking around and I'm rebooting and I was like, I've lost my stream. Has anybody else got audio? Whatever. And then ELO gives me another link and I upload. I mean, whatever. And I look down and the volume was turned down on my old speaker.
Oh, I hate when that happens. That's so unfair.
Cobweb said something about it being a blonde something, and I said, honey, I ain't been blonde since 1960-something, so no. I'm just embarrassed. I missed your whole deal, and I really didn't get the context. You got an email that somebody was trashing Jim for something he said on your show.
Well, yes, that was part of it. He called Jim a jackass, and I took issue with that because Jim has never been a jackass to me, and I believe that even if this man did Jim to be a, quote, jackass on another show, I mean, what does that got to do with me?
Nothing. Well, exactly. Like I said, you need to get out more often. And your rants won't scare you so much.
That's true. I did scare myself. I could have used some of those astronaut diapers about the middle of it. I got a little out of control.
Oh, how funny. A couple of things that we didn't get to finish the conversation the other night. What was the story about Trinidad? Were you talking about, it was something about transgender, and it was that Trinidad was the center of what? Discrimination?
Oh, that's right. That's right. There was, there was some little town in Colorado. Was it Trinidad? Yes, that was the capital or the center for folks going through the getting the whole process. I'm not sure if you have to live there during the whole process. I understand that there are years involved with the hormones and counseling, but I assume that the surgeries are there, and also foreign country too. Was it? I can't remember where I said it was. And that little town in Colorado.
Yeah, that's Trinidad, Colorado. It's a neat little town. I just was
I'll
up there.
I'll be darned.
Up there, there was a little dyke band with a boy bass player playing in the old railroad station. Ginger Lee. Huh? Yeah, I wanted to get some CDs of her to you or something, or get her on the air. She's just really hot. So, anyhow, Ginger was up there on Labor Day weekend last year, and I'd never been to Trinidad before. It was a cool little town. So I just passed on that. And the other thing, I was just choking on my, I was eating a piece of cantaloupe, and when you were talking about gay lobbies, and I choked.
Yes, the gay lobby is very powerful.
only if you like mauve and lavenders and grays.
Yes,
started a whole stream of consciousness in the chat room about the colors and the fabrics and the, I think I can just envision the fresh flowers every day, like a $300 bouquets in the corner on the commodes as you walk into the through the stained glass door.
No doubt.
The gay lobby.
Taking over America. Lobby at a time. One office building at a time. We're going to take over the freaking country.
Oh, I had lots of friends in Tacoma, Washington, who took over the lobbies, and oh my God, they were gorgeous. The lobbies, and the lobbies and my boyfriends, yes. God, there was, I had another subject to say. Oh, about...
Well, listen, before I... Go ahead. I was just going to say, before I forget to say this, before you get away, I'm not trying to make you go away, but I do want to... The singers that you encountered in Trinidad, if you come across a website, please send me the link, and maybe I can contact them.
Oh, for Ginger? Oh, sure. I can even just call her and say, hey, and go and call you. Or I was going to hook you up about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but she's in Italy on tour, so what that is. I've been thinking since, about the first week you were on the air about the people who, Jim mentioned the people who are out there in the dark and people who are lurking, and you say you get a lot of emails, and the first segment and then the last story that you did about your friends, that you give such a tremendous amount of energy to this program, and I think that it's terrible. We're doing you a gross disservice by not returning the energy in kind, by at least just calling and saying, well, I don't want to give my name or where I'm at, and I don't really have anything to say, but I just want to say I really enjoy your program. Thank you. That's all you need to do. Please, I mean, who's ever out there in the dark, and if you're shy, there's a free toll-free number, for God's sake, and you can have anonymity. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think we owe it to Peter for all he does, for all the hours that he spends in preparation and in doing this show way past his daddy by time, we owe it to Peter to give back the energy that he gives to us every single night.
Well, that's so sweet of you to say that, Kate. I think I probably scared. I think I probably sent him back into the dark for at least a month.
Oh, no. I would think that would brought people out. You know, yeah, right on, brother man.
Man, he's scary.
Well, I mean, if we have people overseas and we have people all over the country listening, and we have people in the chat room, and people just don't call, and I think that's just rude, and it's insulting, and it's disrespectful, and, well, just don't let me get on my rant. I don't even want to go there, you know. folks, if you just please call in and say hey, because we'd like to all know that you're out there. Because now it's turning into the Peter Godbold Strictly Confidential starring Kate and Jim. However, I love Jim's phone calls. I love Jim's phone calls. I'm so looking forward to it. He just went on over the top of it. We didn't even get any Joan Crawford tonight. Shame on you.
No, we didn't get...
I know.
What we should do
agendas.
Is have all three of us on a three-way hookup, and we'll sing show tunes. That'll... You know, we'll do something really scary and force them to call, you know. They'll have to...
You pick out the songs, and Jim will do the little... the little dialogue on the description of the and the critique of the black and white movie and the history of the characters, the history of the stars in the movie. And then in the background, I'll just do the ruddy patter of risque dialogue. So we can have a three-way, we can just do a co-hosted show, and yeah, that'll send them all home. Jim and I, you have a good time. And Bob and Agnes just have to sit there and do the buttons.
No, you know, I think I'm sure I put a few more gray hairs on Bob, you know, because Bob is like, you know, he's the adult. Bob plays the adult. Agnes and I play the antagonistic children, mm-hmm. and quite well, I'm sad. And I think we probably got him a few new gray hairs tonight. It was so well done.
And then, I come along, and you can say, "Oh, Bob, look what I brought! Look who I brought! Who followed me home?"
How true.
Well, you had another story to do tonight, and I wanted to just call and say hey, and I appreciate what you're doing, and no more trees fell, right?
No more trees. I told them to stay put, and I haven't moved that last one yet, but I will get around to it. It's I mean, I can still get it. I mean, as long as Doggy and I can squeeze by it to get in the house, we're okay.
There's no safety hazard, though, if you'd have to get in and out of the house quickly.
Oh, well, we're probably, yeah, I guess there would be. I mean, you know, there probably would be if I had to get out really quickly. But yeah, I definitely need to take care of that. I definitely do.
I'll UPS you a chainsaw, but then you wouldn't use it.
I'll con one of my brother-in-laws.
Please do, because that's as if emergency crews had to get in very quickly, that would be hard. Or if you had to escape the house and you couldn't get the door open wide in order to get out, that might be.
Good point.
Hey, I ate your mama. Just fix the friggin'
I know,
tree,
but
okay?
I so need a mama. your fear going where angels fear to tread, and I so need a mama.
Well, listen, I can be an angel, but I ain't no damn mama.
Okay, gotcha. Good point.
Well, I think that was all I just wanted to say to people. I feel bad that you aren't getting the telephone response that you should be getting, because you know all those people are out there, and we just think that we're the only five people listening because we're in the chat room, you know. So I don't know. I would just encourage people to call in and give some different energy to the show, and but mostly just to say thank you to Peter and out of respect, because you do such a hard job, and it's a big task, and it just wears everybody out, you know. And if any energy we can give back to you, just feel it coming at you. So the storm blew on over, right?
Yes, it went sort of to the, I could hear the thunder toward a little town called Monticello, which is west of here. And normally when there's thunder over Monticello, my internet goes uh-huh. because we're routed somehow through fiber optic through Monticello out to the middle of nowhere where I live. And but tonight I got through scot-free. There wasn't the first bounce. Everything stayed connected. I was so pleased.
Well, I just did a little dowsing on the map and sent it all northward to Mikey up in Atlanta, so he's got a bigger.
Mike can handle it. Mike's got better nerves. He's been doing radio longer. He can.
Mike's got a great big old truck. He can pull all the trees out of his yard.
Yeah, Mike's tougher. Mike's tough. Let him deal with it. I agree.
He's older than us too.
That's right.
He's probably got more experience with this kind of evil crap out of the cosmos. He can deal with it. I'm glad the storm went on by, and I'm glad that you're well, and that you got some rest, and you had a nice weekend, and you've got a bad cold, and it's everywhere. People all over.
I'm doing much better. I pulled a cover over my head and watched a bunch of streaming movies. I was just it was like a guilty it was almost fun being sick. It was like guilty pleasure.
I figured you were doing a Netflix escape, you know, in the bathrobe.
Yeah. I was wearing my broadcast outfit, you know.
you were in broadcast drag, right?
Yeah, I was doing the full pajama bottoms broadcast ensemble.
Yeah, no pumps in bed, though. You were missed on
no.
the Sears. Huh? I went on over the top. I left it. I didn't even leave you in a room to get on that one. you were missed on Billy Sears Saturday night, so we had a really good time. So you'll
thank
be there
you.
Next
thank
week,
you. Thank you. Billy's show, you know, I have heard two of his shows, but not when it was live on air. And I've got to tell you that they are wonderful. The execution and the man is magic. Is he not magic? The way he can craft it all together and connect all that stuff. And he not only does it live, it's more than just mixing music. I mean, it's a whole logical musical thought that's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's much more coherent than I am.
He's a musicologist.
Yes, yeah.
That's not a medical term.
Yeah, it's very good.
And very good term.
Whereas I'm just a common gutter slut gay bar DJ. You know what can I tell you?
I get to be the slut. Okay, come on, stop it. Well, you can't. And people erroneously think that has to do with sex. It doesn't. It's an old English, Middle English word for slovenly, and it means probably in more recent era, it means with total disregard for the conventional. So that calls me a slut. I mean, I am just such a slut. Somebody noticed.
And in the yes, in that case, definitely so am I.
Somebody asked me if I was a Jack Kerouac fan, and I said, "No, I'm a Blue Highways tramp." So, oh. Okay, we're getting closer to you need to do wrap up and get your stories all, get the corners squared away on your stories and put them in a pile for tomorrow, right?
Well, yeah, okay. I've got too much. I've got a neat fireman story, and I've got another a little of the toilet story, and there's stuff. There's plenty of stuff.
That brings me, and I close like a Baptist preacher 17 times in 12 minutes. The story about the toilets that Jim told, I thought that, I don't know why that was so shocking and why it was so, like, oh my goodness sakes. I mean, I hung out in those bars all the time. I don't know what was so,
oh, God. Oh,
come
God.
On, Peter.
Oh, please. Please don't make me go there. Oh,
pardon me?
Don't make me go there.
Okay,
go there.
I just want to tell you, Jim, you don't shock me, honey. you ain't caring old enough.
I'm easily horrified, I guess.
Okay. Just wrap it up here, and I'll talk to you tomorrow or the next day or whatever, and would
Thank
encourage
you.
All you
Thank
listeners out there to call in. The number is 1-8, no, never mind. That's your 877,
the number 4-8-ON. That's right. And thank you so much for calling, Kate. It's always good to hear from you.
Thank you, darling. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Peter. Good night. And we have Susan calling from an undisclosed location in the far north, if I have my geography correct. Good evening, Susan.
It appears that I picked the one day that I should know to have to go into town. And I went and missed something just really incredible. I'm going to have to download this show.
I had a little meltdown in the beginning.
Oh, dear.
I tried so hard for 2 or 3 days not to be evil, and I got started. I really wasn't very bad at all. I got started, and then as I got further into it, the eviler I got, and then I decided, well, you know what the hell? I've already been this evil.
Peter,
I might as
well. Come on, you're supposed to be evil.
Well, this is true. I went all nuclear. Did you know that's
all right?
At
least you know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, nuclear. It passed though. I'll probably be thinking about what I did for a couple of days, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it as a team. Somehow we'll get past it.
Well, you know, you mentioned that you and Agnes were the bready kids. Yeah, I guess that makes
True.
Me your average radical.
Well, yeah,
well,
we plot radical. Against Bob. We plot, and whenever Bob does something we don't like it, we basically were going like, Bob must die. We're really evil. We're really rotten.
Everybody does
like,
do that? I thought everybody did
we
that.
Really... You did. Agnes and I cannot be left alone in the same room. It's not a good idea. At least
you
when it comes to Bob's survival.
In this country.
Say Admit again?
It. Admit it. You can't be left alone in the same country with Agnes.
That's pretty much.
Start plotting.
That's pretty much true. Oh, my stars. It's,
hey, don't
it was
that.
A,
get on
it was a strange ride.
Plot, too. Like today.
Yeah, you know, Agnes, yeah, we ought to hear from Agnes one night. She ought to break out of her shell and she could call the show.
Well, I keep telling her she's really good when she decides to hold the beer bus on the radio.
Huh. perfect.
Well, she needs to, she needs to boot Bob out of the studio and hold a beer bus.
Oh,
I provided the theme song. What more does she want?
No. Poor Agnes. Poor Bob. Boy,
yeah.
They have to... We do.
Anyway,
we take our toll on them.
I heard that people should call in, so I immediately got on the phone.
Thank
because
you, sweetheart.
Because I can't have my darling Peter feel neglected.
Nobody loves me. People just like to email me. I'm just an old email whore. Nobody wants to talk to me. They think I'm too scary. They email me. Oh, yeah, they email me. But they never want to talk to me.
Oh, really. I love you, Peter. You are just so cool. I love you to pieces.
Well, these things take time. Shows take time
mm-hmm.
to... And you know,
well,
I remember... Go ahead.
If Billy Shears weren't married, I'd jump his bones.
Oh, he's a
cutie. I love his program that much.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, but Billy is excellent in every way, and I do appreciate Billy. Now that I do this show, I don't get to talk to him as often. We used to email fairly regularly about music and tracks and this, that, and the other, but since I don't talk to him as often, but he's quite a wit. I would love to do another article for his music site one of these here days. In fact, I should go ahead and get it written, and that way I can just submit it, and I won't have to... Maybe I can do that this weekend. That would be fun. That might be something I'd do this weekend. If the weekend, yeah, the rolls around. Yeah, that sounds like a great plan.
Anyway,
have you done something
at the top of the hour. So I will be calling in more often, okay?
Okay, thank you, Susan. And I'm so pleased to hear from you. And
evil.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night, honey.
Good night, sweetheart.
Love you.
Love you, too. Thank you for calling. And that was our friend Susan calling from the woods of the Northwest. And it reminded me in a chat, I saw somebody, something went by, and it reminded me I have an article. I'm going to go through this quickly. It only deserves quick treatment because it takes us back to that stupid toilet again. But just wanted to run this through. Where did the little article go? About mayor. You know, the mayor who was down there in South Florida, and did I put the article away? I may have put it away again. I may have put it back. But in any case, he's come up with a new story about why he propositioned. He said he was scared. You see, the officer was a big black man, and the officer scared him. He's claiming that the only reason that he offered to pay that man $20 was because he thought he was trying to get out of there with his life, you see. And the fact of the matter is that he is now saying that it's all the black man's fault. I did this because I am a white man, and I was surrounded by black people, and or all these black people in the park, and I was scared. And so that's the latest story, and he is sticking to it. And... so, really shouldn't try to do another one. So I will say to you, good evening, and thank you so much for joining me on Strictly Confidential. You are appreciated. Be sure and stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and you'll find all sorts of interesting things there, and might even be able to put this news story that I can't find on that you can, or we'll cover it tomorrow night. And in closing, Dean Manley reminding you, too,